Welcome to the Free Lawyer Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Miles. The Free Lawyer Podcast is designed for the lawyer, entrepreneur, or professional who is in some way unfulfilled, stressed, or stuck, and is looking for something better. We will discuss various blocks that limit us from achieving the personal freedom that we all desire, but have not yet fully experienced. And we will give actionable steps to free yourself from them. Are you looking to achieve a new level of success? If so, this podcast is for you. Before we get started with our message today, I'm really excited to let you know I've now released my first book, Breaking Free, A Guide to Achieving Personal and Professional Freedom as a Lawyer. I'm dedicated to helping you find the success and freedom from stress and burnout in your practice. Breaking Free gives you the tools and actionable steps that allow you success and fulfillment in ways you never thought possible. You will see how to overcome the stress and overwhelm you feel and to achieve a life of freedom, joy, and success. I will leave a link in the show notes where you can purchase it. I hope you enjoy reading Breaking Free as much as I have enjoyed writing it. Now to the rest of our episode. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. Just as a couple side notes before we get started, I know so many of you love listening to this podcast, and I hear that from many of you in messages and the like. If you like the podcast, I would love it if you could leave me a rating and review. It would really help the podcast to be seen and heard by more people. And if you don't follow it, follow it. Then when you have an episode like today's episode, which you'll love, it'll pop up on your phone. It'll be there waiting for you. Today, we're going to talk about how we can grow our business. So many of us want to have more income. We want to leverage our firm. We want to grow. And we have an expert here who's going to help us with that. Travis Hockland is an expert in helping lawyers grow their business. And he's going to talk about that today. Travis, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Gary. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Thank you. Travis, tell me about how you got to where you are today, what your kind of in a summary form, what your professional journey has been, and what you do and how you help your clients.
So I've been in the legal marketing space for almost 15 years now. Started with a kind of a big box store lawyer marketing company. And I guess probably like a lot of your listeners who are entrepreneurs, at some point just figured you could make the widget a little bit better or a lot better than where you're at. And so it had been a dream of ours for a long time. I have two business partners. We talked about this for years and years and years to make the jump. And, you know, as all entrepreneurs go through, it's a scary proposition to leave corporate America and go hang your own shingle. And so about 5 years ago, I made the leap and crossed my fingers that, that the folks that the contacts that I had would come with me and a lot of them did. And here we are 5 years later, and we work with about 350 law firms all across the U.S., all different practice areas, all different shapes and sizes and so forth. Our sweet spot is solo practitioners up to about 10 attorneys, I would say, are typically the ones that need help with marketing. Not that we don't have bigger firms that we work with, but that's kind of the long and short of it.
Well, my compliments to you on taking that leap. I always respect someone who's entrepreneurial. I know I've coached some lawyers who feel like they can make more money in less time or have more independence and more freedom. Yep. They run their business how they want if they open their own firm. And my compliments to you for doing that, because now you're not stuck taking commands from someone else to do something the way you don't think is the right way. You can do it the way you think is right. So compliments Absolutely. To you on that.
I appreciate that.
Travis, I know your expertise lies in helping those 350 law firms generate new clients off of their internet and social media and website, et cetera. Can you share some key trends or strategies in online attorney marketing that have evolved over the last 5-10 years?
Yeah. So there's a few different trends, and why we typically do a pretty big needs analysis, where we meet with every potential client ahead of time to see, to make sure we understand what they're looking to do. Because a lot of them don't haven't thought this through of, you know, so we match up the right products or services with the right attorney. Meaning this, like a website, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard, doing SEO, getting a website to rank on Google doesn't happen overnight. Don't shoot the messenger. That's just the way it is, right? And so, you know, like a personal injury attorney, if they maybe haven't thought it through. I tell people all the time, like, if, you know, a personal injury attorney is like, if I show up to the call with five cases over my shoulder, car accident cases over my shoulder, you're not seeing money come in the door for 6 or 12 months, best case scenario, right? And
Right.
so they need to think that through. Is that the right strategy? You know, building a website for that takes 60 or 90 days to get up and running, and then optimizing it, and it takes 6 or 12 months, depending on the market and how competitive it is, before the phone starts ringing. Have they thought that through? Is that the right fit? It is a good strategy, amazing strategy once you're there, but make sure they understand that. A couple of the trends. So that content is king, getting your website to rank. You know, people will say, I've heard things over on social media, yeah, SEO is dead. Not even close, in my opinion. Couple of cool strategies that maybe we'll get into deeper, but Google has always had pay-per-click or Google AdWords. They recently, call it 2 years ago, came out with local service ads. Those are the faces that you see. Like if you were to type in Charlotte personal injury attorney, you'll see two faces. Sometimes it's three, depending on what Google's testing, but see faces show up at the very, very top. That's
What do you
Google's
mean
new,
by faces?
like headshots of
Oh,
attorneys.
I see.
Like they came in, you know, obviously Google throws their products at the very top, and they came out with a product 2 years ago, local service ads, or here Google screened or green check mark or whatever someone's calling it. And it's their new pay-per-call program. And it's probably the best piece of marketing I've seen in some time, that has come out, because it allows attorneys to only pay once until they don't have to pay until the phone rings, which is
It's a
cool.
lot better than pay-per-click. They could click on something and not call you. So obviously, I guess it costs more per call than per click, but you know you're getting that call.
You're not having to fork over money until your phone actually rings. And then even better than that is if it's the wrong practice area or wrong geography, sales call bot, wrong number, current client, any of that stuff happens, you can actually dispute that call and get your money back. So it allows you to get the biggest bang for your buck typically. There's a few hurdles you have to jump through, what have you, but even for the attorneys that are, they'll tell me they're risk averse, you know, which is kind of funny, but it's a great, a fantastic program.
That is a good program. You know, lawyers often struggle with finding the right clients and increasing the revenue through the right clients. Can you elaborate on how your strategies help law firms achieve those goals of finding the right clients?
Absolutely. So, and we kind of talked about this before we hit record. But so that depending on the strategy, so like a lot of folks, like family law attorneys, will tell me, hey, I want the higher end client,
Right.
right? And so there's a couple different ways to do that. Number one is the geographical target. A lot of times will determine that, right? The more affluent areas are going to have typically folks who are more willing to pay. And then also, when you're building out your website and you're writing content, you're essentially trying to answer questions that people are going to, right? Someone doesn't get in a fight with their wife and all of a sudden, I'm just never thought about this before. I'm jumping on the internet and I call an attorney. That's typically not how it goes down, right? They're asking questions and, you know, how do I, if you're going after the high-end clientele, like if you have content about property division or asset division or splitting up 401ks or these different things, you're more likely, those folks are going to be answering those questions. Asking those questions, excuse me, and then your website then shows up, and it typically.
Let's see if I can put that and summarize that for myself. So a prospective divorce client isn't just going to wake up one day and Google divorce lawyers in his geographical area. He's going to start saying, what happens to my 401k when I get divorced? How are custody issues for kids decided? And if lawyers who have blogs on that topic will in the area will be identified, and then they'll say, oh, look what this lawyer wrote. Maybe I'll give him a call. Is that what you're describing?
Absolutely. And a lot of times I'll tell people like a kind of a do-it-yourself tip, if you will, If you're looking for your ideal client, no one knows them better than you, right? What are those first 10 or 15 questions that your ideal client will ask you when they get you on the phone or come into your office, right? It doesn't take a big leap of faith to think that they're probably asking those questions online before they got there. So if you can be the resource and answer those questions for that particular person's issue, you just increase the chance and likelihood that they're going to pick up the phone and call you because you're an expert or a authority in that particular practice area.
That makes so much sense. Travis, what are some common misconceptions or mistakes that law firms make when it comes to online marketing, and how do you help them avoid those pitfalls?
Yeah, I was the biggest hurdle that we run into and the mistakes that attorneys make, believe it or not, is getting them to answer the phone consistently. Wow. Right. And I would say we, like I said, 350 some odd firms. I've worked with thousands of firms over the last 15 years. And I would say, and there's no hard science or data behind this, but I would say if across the board, attorneys typically answer the phone somewhere between 60 and 75% of the time, if they haven't signed up for an answering service, which I highly recommend. We don't do that, but we certainly can point you in the right direction. That's not even in our job description, but we've had to roll up our sleeves and handle that. Cause no matter how good the marketing is, if you're not answering the phone, I can't do anything for you. You know what I mean? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink type of thing. Right. So you need to make sure you're answering the phone. You know, I tell people, I give them an example. My dad's a doctor. By his hobby is watching bird watching, whatever. So we live in California. He was in Colorado. Long story longer, he got rear-ended by a commercial truck as he was taking a photo of some birds or what have you. And so anyway, he comes back and his back's banged up and he needed some help. I didn't at the time have any contacts in Colorado. This was maybe 10 years ago. So I called some buddies who did what I did to have contacts of personal injury attorneys. I said, hey, listen, this is probably not a $20 million case, but I don't need that particular type of attorney that only handles those, but I do want a good one that you would send your friends or family to. I made 4 phone calls and didn't get a call back. I left messages for all of them, which is uncommon. Most people don't leave messages. I left messages for all of them. Only one of them called me back within 3 days. And that's because I texted my buddy like, hey, none of your guys called me back. So he made a text message going, hey, you didn't. And I left if you're a personal injury attorney, I left a message that was a softball. It checked all the boxes where you would go, I should call that person back.
It's hard to understand why lawyers don't return calls like that. And I know that we're busy. We mm-hmm. work hard. We have a lot of things to do. But it seems like today with the internet, if you don't answer the phone when it rings, then they're not going to leave a message. You did. It's hard to understand why 4 quality personal injury attorneys wouldn't return your call. But with the internet call, when it comes from someone you don't know, seems like if you don't answer the phone, they call the next person. Is it your suggestion that, you know, the 2 lawyers in an office and maybe they have a legal assistant, 3 people who might answer the phone, but the lawyer might be on the phone, the lawyer might be in court, the paralegal may be at the copy machine. Do you recommend people use an answering service?
100%. Because the data, I just read an article on this. They say 80% of people will not leave a message. They don't. And attorneys have a tough time believing this because they're used to, they all tell them, all of you guys tell me, my best business comes from my referrals. Those referrals will leave a message, right? Like I did to those 4 people, right? Because I was recommended to them. The alternative is to jump online and call a perfect stranger. So most attorneys are used to referrals. Oh yeah, they'll leave a message. Strangers who are just jumping on the internet and looking for an attorney, they won't. It's too easy to hit the back button and call the next one on the list because they can't make heads or tails of who's the best and who's not, right? And so, especially when as an entrepreneur, right, there's answering services that are $300 or $400 a month, which is nothing in the grand scheme of things, especially when you weigh it against like, okay, what if that captures me 2 more clients a month? If I just spent $300 or $400 or whatever it may be, like that, I'm
one client a month has
right
multiple paid that right
100%. So it's crazy to me when, you know, I just had a client. I you know, we go through and we record all the calls for the client so they can, the attorney, so they can listen to them. And she goes, it's not working. I said, okay, well, before we throw the baby out with the bathwater and start pulling the plug on things, let me go listen to your calls for the last 30 days. You got 67 phone calls, 27 of them went to voicemail. Four of them were unanswered. Three of them didn't, would have signed up for a consultation, but she didn't offer in-person consultations. So there's all these things that, you know, make sure you're answering the phone, make sure you're tracking your phone calls to make sure to do quality assurance. What is your staff doing? How are they answering the phone? Are they rude? You'd be surprised how many times attorneys, when they listen to them, they go, oh my gosh, I can't believe my secretary is talking to these guys like this, you know, type of thing. So those are, answer the phone and make sure you're converting the calls that are coming in. And I'm not even talking about new business, like converting more of the referrals that are already coming to you, right? Because that, you guys work long and hard to, you know, get referrals and things of that nature. Make sure you're grabbing all these, because referrals typically comes in twos and threes, right? Somebody asks you where you, you know, call you for criminal defense work, you go, you know what, call so-and-so, so-and-so, or so-and-so. Those are the two or three I would recommend, right?
Right.
It all happens. People will, if you're not answering phone, they're just going to the next person.
And what's the key to converting the calls?
Great question. I mean, in an ideal world, which doesn't happen all the time because you are busy, is that they get on the phone with an attorney, right? And be able to do at least a mini intake, right?
So if we use an answering service and it goes to the answering service will say something like, oh, thank you for your call, to get some basic information. We'll have one of the attorneys call you, and then the attorney should call within 24 hours or so.
The sooner the better. Absolutely. I mean, 24 hours may even be long. I understand it's not ideal, but yes, get an answering service that at least gets the name, number, and contact information in the issue, right? What is the issue? And then you can kind of weed out whether that needs to be called. Listen, for your PI listeners out there, listen, do I recommend, if it's a big rig accident, you know, where it's catastrophic injuries, that you wait 24 hours to call them back?
Nope.
Absolutely not.
5 minutes.
Yeah. You bet, maybe 2 minutes, right? Yeah. You know, so get an answering service that will email or text you the transcript, so you can quickly look at it and figure out whether that's a, hey, I need to call in a minute, or you know what, I'm going to call them back. That's not a case I take. I'll refer it out, or I'll, you know, do good by the client and make sure I, you know, point them in the right direction and maybe get a good review out of it.
You know, many lawyers find marketing and client acquisition to be time consuming and complex and burdensome. How is what you do streamline that process for them and allow those lawyers to focus on practicing law while they're building their practice?
Absolutely. I mean, you basically almost recited our mission statement, right? Because our clients, if they have large majority, if not all of them, what they have in common is they don't want to worry about any of this stuff. They just want their phones to ring with quality clients, so they can focus on practicing law. And so what we like to do is make sure we handle everything for them. Now, some folks want to be, you know, knee deep in this stuff, or, you know, neck deep in this stuff, and that we welcome that, certainly. But how we are set up is that we write all the content, we do all the backlinks, and we're meeting with these folks on monthly or quarterly basis to their discretion, and showing them what we do, be completely transparent. Everything we do is month to month, so we're not holding anybody hostage here. If we're not the right fit, we walk them down the street and find somebody who is. But knock on wood, our retention rate is darn near 90%. So we like to think we're doing the right thing and doing good by the clients, and they're seeing results, and we want to help them do that. So we kind of do a white glove service, kind of soup to nuts, handle everything for them, and it allows them to focus on practicing law, certainly. And, you know, the time consuming stuff is, you know, writing content. I know there's some agencies that throw it in your plate, you know, throw it in your lap and go, hey, you go write the content. And you don't have SEO chops and know how to write legal marketing content that's going to show up on the search engine. So we take that all out of their off their plate and handle it for them.
Fantastic. Tell me about website design. What role does that play in a successful campaign?
It's becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, first and foremost, you know, you got to win the beauty contest, right? Like, once again, before we talk about me bringing a you know, new clients or strangers to your firm, we need to convert the ones that are already trying to find you. So making sure, a couple things, making sure contact information is on there, right? You know, typically a phone number in the top right-hand corner, make sure it's mobily compatible, right? Make sure that when most people are searching on their phones now, so make sure contact information is on there and accessible. Make sure it clearly states what you do. Don't try to be clever. You got people's attention span is what, a few seconds, 5 to 7 seconds maybe. Make sure when they come to your, they land in your website, it clearly states what you do. I can't tell you how many times I've jumped on a website and I do this for a living, right? I'm preparing for a call and I've been reading this thing for 10 minutes. I can't understand if they're they're on the defense side or the plaintiff side or what the heck they do. So make sure that's clear and make sure that you're converting. It's going to be number one is that it's, and Google's even monitoring user engagement, how long they're staying on your website. That affects where you're ranking. So having video on your site, having chat on your site, having great content on your site are all going to keep people on your website longer, and it's going to benefit you in conversion and visibility and the whole deal.
You know, you mentioned SEO, search engine optimization, and even non-computer people, non-experts like me, have heard SEO, SEO, SEO. Tell me what it means and tell me how important it is and how law firms can optimize their online presence.
Okay. So SEO is search engine optimization. What that means, and from a 50,000 foot view, it's getting your website to show up on the search engines. And you need to be on the first page. If you're not on the first page, you might as well be on the 100th page, because no one goes past the first page these days, right? And really never has. And so it's important. It's a longer term strategy, but it's a great strategy. And you got to, right? And what I mean by that is building up your website and doing SEO, the analogy I like to give is like buying a home. Gary, if you and I went and bought a piece of property today, outside of the money we put down, there would be no equity there, most likely, right? And people could argue tomorrow, that was a bad investment. There's no equity there. If you sold it today, you don't get anything. Okay. But a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we would hope it would be one of our better investments, right? There'd be equity there and so on and so forth. And that's how a website works, right? You're not going to see equity tomorrow or a month from now or 2 months from now, right? Unless it's something very, very niche, then you may see results quicker. So I'm kind of under promising. So whoever's going to take over your website can over deliver, but it's a longer term strategy. So building up that equity allows you to not have to potentially go pay for ads and pay through the nose, right? Because the other alternative is to go buy local service ads or Facebook ads or PPC or whatever, where it's expensive, relatively speaking, right? And so it just, and that, and those ads are kind of like, you know, renting a move-in ready apartment, right? You get all the bells and whistles right away, but you're not gaining any equity there.
I can explain the difference. A website will grow over time. It's a longer term investment. It doesn't happen overnight, but it's pretty stable. It doesn't disappear overnight either. Once you build up that equity, build up that value, it stays. But doing something like pay-per-click is like putting up a billboard. As long as you're doing pay-per-click or a Google ad, you get the immediate call. Once you stop doing it, the calls stop.
Correct. Absolutely right. And then the misconception I hear a lot of attorneys come up with is, you know, you plant your website, like a plant, you gotta feed it, right? You gotta water it, you gotta put in sun, all that good stuff. And for a website, from an optimization standpoint, I mean, there's literally thousands of things or hundreds of things that you need to do, but the two main ones is content. You need to continue to feed your website content, because Google is looking for the most authoritative website to show up in the search engine. So the more content you have, if you have 100 pages on family law in North Carolina and I have two, you're, all other things being equal, you're going to show up before I am.
Does it matter what words you put in the content? Does Google look for this word instead of that word? So there's a real art in how you draft the blogs, or can a lawyer who is interested draft his own content and have it be seen by Google?
A couple different answers to that question. Number one is yes, words do matter. Before every piece of content, every page of content we write, I mean, talking practice area pages now, like if I want to show for Charlotte, family law lawyer, we have some proprietary software that we put that key word string in, and it'll pop out and tell us what word count do we need at minimum, what word count. If all your competitors have 2,000 words, guess what? You need at least 2,000 words. It tells us what keywords are most common and that we need to have in there and how frequent those keywords need to be. And there's actually 122 different touch points that we do before we even write the page. And then we send it over to our writing team, and we're kind of reverse engineering the page based on the information.
Figuring out what words Google looks for, and then you're writing it knowing that those are the words you want to include.
Exactly right.
So there really is requires some expertise to include the right words. It's not enough to just write content. If I hear you right, you need to have the right words, and you need to know how to figure out what words Google's looking for, which is where your expertise comes in to actually write content that will be seen.
Yeah, because there's two audiences essentially we're writing for, right? First and foremost, Google. We need to write it according to Google so they show it so someone could find your website. And then the second, and this is kind of a balancing act, we need to write a page of content for your potential client, okay? Answering the questions. And, you know, the average internet reader reads at about a 7th to 8th grade level. So we have attorneys that go, hey, I want it to sound like, a legal book, a Westlaw book or something like that. And that's just talking over their heads. So there's that delicate balance. And I understand it rubs attorneys sometimes the wrong way because I got this great degree and that doesn't sound like me. I was like, okay, we're not trying to attract you. Unless you want 20 U's, attorneys that do family law to come into your office, that went to Harvard, that we're not looking for you. We're looking for your potential clients, and this is how they read. And people aren't reading typically a website like they do a book, right? Left to right, top to bottom, page by page by page. They're skimming and they're going right to the issue that they have, whether that's child support or,
That makes sense to write it as the reader will be reading it instead of how we write it. And I know I've seen the same thing with expert witnesses in court. I don't want them to speak like an expert because they're speaking to a jury.
Yes.
Use words that juries, understand. Talk about social media. We hear a lot about how to use social media, whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever. How can a law firm use social media to connect with their target audience?
Absolutely. Well, to generalize, there's kind of two different strategies, right? The first one is just having a presence. Social media is what today, in my opinion, especially to the younger generation, is what a website was 15 years ago, right? Like if you didn't have a website 15 years ago, people didn't think you're working out of your underwear in your garage. I guess here post-COVID, maybe that's acceptable now, but I digress. Social media, in my opinion, is similar in that respect, right? Like if you don't have, and some people, if you don't have a social media presence, you don't have a Facebook account or LinkedIn or whatever, they don't hold you in as high a regard as maybe someone who does. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's just how people are kind of act these days, right? And so it's important to have content and keep top of mind, right? If you have a following, make sure your people are seeing your name and your brand and checking that branding box to make sure you're top of mind. And then there's Facebook or LinkedIn or some of the different ads where you can target your demographic and make sure that they're seeing your content. Because nobody, a stranger, when you post, if you're not buying ads from one of these social media platforms, they're not seeing it. The only folks that see your posts are people who follow you. And even then, it's only a percentage of those. It's people who have engaged or look at your old posts, they're more likely to see your current post. Like when you're on Facebook, you don't see everybody that you're friends with, all of their content. You only see the ones that you stop and look at or comment on or like or so on and so forth. So there's a couple different strategies and you need to figure out which shoe fits. And that's where you meet with your typically a professional in the marketing space. And so they can explain that to you.
So Travis, for the lawyer, the solo practitioner, the law firm, who's looking to do something different to improve their online marketing, What suggestions do you have for them to start growing their business successfully?
Oh man, there's a bunch of different answers. It all depends. There's not one size fits all. It's kind of different on what your budget is and when you need to see business come in the door, how quickly, and so on and so forth. But I would say first and foremost, have a website and have all your contact information on there. Make sure you're capturing your GMB, your Google My Business page. Like when you Google your name, it's that Google property that shows up if you're on a desktop on the right-hand side where it has your address and so on and so forth. And then also get reviews. Make sure it's super, super important in Google. Google's kind of pushed all their chips in the middle. And showing up in the maps and certainly affects SEO and local service ads and conversion, right? Like 89% of people look at reviews before they buy something in these days. And that's no different with attorneys. So if you're going to do two things, make sure you have a good-looking website. Whether you do it yourself or you hire an agency, make sure you have a website with all. Make sure your referrals can find you, and then also get social proof. So you know, make sure you're getting reviews. I would start with Google, and then kind of go down the line, whether it's you know Facebook and Yelp and some of these other places. But certainly get people to leave your reviews. And I know it's a pain in the butt, but stats show that 60% of people will leave a review if you ask. The issue that all of us do, I'm just as guilty, is we forget to ask, right? And I understand it's kind of awkward and all these different things, but I think in today's world, people understand the game. They understand why you're asking. So that's very important to make sure you're getting reviews.
Travis, you've had so much helpful information today about how we attorneys can grow our businesses online. You know, when I started practicing, you got business from referrals only, and something called the yellow pages. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but they used to have them back in the day. And now it's all online, and it's a new world, and it's ever changing. And that's where a person like you, who's truly expert and up to date on all the trends, is so important. So for those lawyers who might want to find out more from you and learn how they can use your services to help grow their business, how can they find you?
You can go to our website, riseupmedia.com. Rise is spelled with a Z, RIZEUPMEDIA.com. Or my personal email address is travis@riseupmedia.com.
Great.
Either of those ways.
Travis, thank you so much for your time today. I really, really appreciate you and your expertise. And to all of our listeners, thank you for being here. I appreciate each and every one of you. As always, please be well, be safe, and be free.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Free Lawyer Podcast. Wherever you are listening, if you enjoyed what I shared, please leave me a rating and review. I would appreciate hearing more about what you like best and what topics you might like me to cover in future episodes. If you are interested in experiencing a more fulfilling and a more successful life, please contact me at www.garymiles.net, where you can schedule a free discovery call with me so I can learn more about you, your challenges, and your dreams. I appreciate each and every one of you, and have a great rest of your day. Thanks to all of you for your support.